27, 2020. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So we will open with a short dua, and then we have a special report or message. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Sister Claire Muhammad, pioneer Islamic education in the U.S., have reached $5,425. They need to raise an additional $100,000 to start the project. You can go to GoFundMe.com. We're asking all the believers to make a contribution to this great work. To make your donation, created by friends of Imam Darnell Kareem. Also, you can purchase his book on Sister Clara Muhammad, help make possible the publishing of Imam Darnell Kareem's book on Sister Clara Muhammad. He was assistant to Imam W.D. Muhammad and a childhood friend. Darnell Kareem has been a practicing member of this Muslim community for over 74 years. Also, we are asking everyone to take out a subscription to Muslim Journal so that we can keep up to what our community is doing here, the Muslim community here in America and throughout the world. We will continue now where we left off last Thursday. The Quran Surah 45, Ayat 3 to 4, signs in the heavens and yourself. So the picture is on the intellect, but before the mind can cultivate, feed, to digest the world, you know, that's what God created the human mind to do, digest the whole world. Now, you can't understand what I'm talking about when I say digest. There's a little publication out there, been out a long time, very excellent one, Reader's Digest. God created the human brain, the human intellect, to digest the whole world. So the whole world of matter created things. That's why in the Quran, it says that in the heavens, you will find signs, ayats, and in the earth, signs, ayats, and also in yourself or in what's between heaven and earth, ayats. So ayats versus in Quran. Now, what is ayats? It is a verse of the Quran. Ayat, the word in print, that's what it is, ayat. It is one ayat, many verses. So what is God saying? Using the same term exactly, not a different one, same term that he used to identify this writing, this print in this book. He used to tell you what you should be perceiving when you are looking at the external world and yourself as ayats. you are looking at an ayat. Now, if I want to read this ayat, it's from God. These are from God, directly from God. I want to read these because they come from God. Then God tells me everything that you see out there is ayat. Now, the sun came directly from God too, before the revelation did, and the moon, all of the stars, and the wind and the storms and the water, everything, life, death, all created by God, as well as my own self. So that made those people scientific. The revelation came to them like this. It made them scientific. It directed them to study the order of the skies and the earth and all life, including their own selves, and extract from it the ilma, the science, and the knowledge and rahma, and the mercy that God wants to extend to his human creatures by way of enlightenment. So we are going to round this up now. Yes, it's almost four, so everything is all right. So we want to know our own self. Know your own self. Isn't that what the Nation of Islam came to tell us? Get a knowledge of yourself, knowing that if you keep pursuing a knowledge or ourselves, eventually we will come to realize that, no, we ain't no gods. We can't do a marvelous creation like this. We can't do a marvelous creation like this. We are no gods. Now, let me say something, brothers. You never got the sisters to believe you were gods. Yes, sisters, I know. We are far enough away from the problem days to tell them that now. They can take it now. Never got the sisters to believe we were gods. So I know my mother. I know my mother. She believed her teacher, Mr. Farad, was God, but she did not believe anybody else was God, not even her husband, or indeed. And she let him know, too, if he came down on her like a God, she would let him know, you ain't my God now. Just a minute, honey, you ain't my God. So remember what the Savior said. Oh, boy, I'm telling you, it's something. It's a marvelous experience we have lived. I wouldn't exchange it for the world. No, Allahu Akbar. So God is my witness. I often thank him for not letting me be born in Africa. I thank him for not letting me be born in Saudi Arabia. I thank him for not letting me be born in Pakistan, Egypt, Iran, or any of those places. I thank him for not letting me be born in the church or in a synagogue, or I thank him for letting me be born Wallace D. Mahmoud. Transparency struggles to see essence. So what is the new expression now in higher intellectual circles, especially of the God-fearing people, God-fearing educated people? There's an expression, transparency. And an expression that says what we are striving for is transparency to get rid of the physical pictures and see the true essence, striving for the transparency. So man in image of God, transparency is true self. Genesis 1, 26 to 27, God created man in his image. Not only does revelation have body, gross body, and transparency, but also the human person. You have gross body and transparency, and your transparency is the true you, not your gross body. So I mentioned my photo. They have my photo, but they don't have a picture of me. The true picture of me is to know me in my spirit, in my mind, and in my actions. That's the true picture of me. And that transparency is invisible. So when God says he made us in his image, it means that your true picture is not concrete, it's not physical. Your true picture is invisible, transparent. And he has given us of his attributes, like he's merciful. He has made us to be merciful, created us to be merciful. Like he's generous, he has created us to be generous. Like he's holy and does not accept corruption, he has made us to want holiness and to reject corruption. He has given us of his own attributes, his intelligence, and all intelligence, and he has made us intelligent, and to be intelligent, see self in God. So this is the truth. And if you have seen yourself, you have seen your Lord, because your Lord is the one that made you that way. So the Quran, Surah 45, Ayah 3 to 4, signs in the sky, earth, and yourself. The Quran, Surah 30, Ayah 30, don't make changes on the nature made by God. John 10:10, nature is sacred. The Quran was a bill so man could get true blessings, or nature's blessing, pardon me. So what am I saying is, if it is done that nature, it is okay. But if it is not already done by nature, there is not an example in nature for it, then it is not okay. For us, nature is sacred. God has not put more blessings in anything other than he has put in nature. And he only revealed the Quran to help man to go to nature in the better and more productive way. And that is what the Bible says, that you may have life and have it abundantly, and that you may have it increase. And God in the Quran, he gives you increase. And the prayer is for increase in Quranic Arabic, zelman, zedmi ilman. So that is increase. Me and knowledge, because God's revelation, we get a great abundance or a great increase in all things that is good. But nature is where it is at. He directs us to nature. That is where it comes from. The Quran revelation is an expression of nature. Everything is an expression of nature except God, even revelation. So revelation itself is an expression of nature. I'm telling you what I know, not what I'm guessing at. Even the Quran is an expression of nature called the Word of God. But God lets us know that these words are in the creation. So the Quran, Surah 45, Ayat 3 to 4, he says, there are ayats in you, ayats in the heavens, ayats all between the heaven and earth, ayats in the earth, ayats in the human, yourself, ayats, versus ayats, the plural form of the word. And then he refers to the mother of the book, says it is in the mother of the book, the nature that he created the mother of the book. The Quran, Surah 43, Ayah 4, mother, we are written in her womb. So just like we are an expression out of our mother, born of our mother, nothing written. So what I mean, no human design. But in our mothers, they are formed a human design. And we are written in our mother, philosophically speaking, then she produces what she had in her. Computer. It comes out a finished product. The revelation is in creation and man is inspired to bring it out. So it is the same way for scripture. Revelation is in God's creation. It's in man and it's in everything. God has the power to inspire man to bring it out. There was a lot of that statement in the Quran. Deen al-Fitrul Talahi Laiti Fatirin Nasiya Aleha. It is the religion of origin. The word fitra simply means origin. So man is civilized. The jinn is uncivilized man. So the religion of Islam thus patterned man upon, and man here means civilized man. In fact, man only means civilized man in the Quran. Man in human body, processed by the jinn, is an uncivilized man, or as the Christians say, Gentile. It is because the Jews called them Gentiles because they were savage, barbaric, and worshiping of idols, bloodletters, and a bloodthirsty people. They even had blood killing as their sport. So this was in Rome and other countries. So the Jews called them Gentiles. The Quran called them jinn. But it respects the jinn. The Quran shows us that the jinn was also created with a respect, dignity, with an honor. They are not all bad, because it says a party of the jinn heard the recital of the Quran being recited, and they said, what a wonderful recital. No man nor jinn should refuse it or reject it. So that was a party of the jinn said that, so they are not all bad. They are good. They are good and bad. Ask. So the Quran, Surah 43, Ayah 3, signs in the heavens, earth, and yourself. You can't alter God's creation. You can't change it. You can't take it out of its nature or natural state and put it in a state and in that creation power that God created it with to communicate messages, the intellect of man, and I mean men and women. No. So I'm looking at technology, and I'm reading signs because that's still God's creation. And it never is deprived of its ability or its power to send messages to the intellect of man. So I'm looking at technology, but I'm also aware of science theory on the beginning of the earth and how the earth is made, how it's constituted, how it's made up, right? Now, and when you think about it, this is nothing new. The comparison that'll make these, comparisons have been made thousands of years ago by religious students. The revelation of God and God's revelation to man. Creation power is the will of God. So you know the power of creation is the will of God. Listen to what I'm saying. The power, the real power of creation is the will of God. God created it. His will is in it. It can't exist except his will be in it. He can't create something with his will, or I should say, he would not. And it's not logical. That's what I mean when I say can't. It's not logical that the creator would create something with the power of his own will and then leave it to exist separate from his will. It also needs the support of his will after he has created it. So whatever he has created, it still has the support of his will on it or as an influence. And in it, it is nature. And the development, it has his will as its strongest influence. So God's will is still in everything he made. And he said in the Quran and scripture before, too, that he has put his spirit, something of his spirit in everything, something of his spirit in everything. So that's his will. The influence of his will, his spirit, is the influence of his will. And he has put something of it in everything. The Quran, Surah 46, Ayat 9, there's no new thing. Islam, interfaith, Muslims. The Quran, Surah 46, Ayat 9. El-Islam, no new religion. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayat 43. All prophets had the same message. The Quran, Surah 10, Ayat 25, Heaven on Dal Islam. Al-Islam is not a new religion according to our holy book. The revelation from the God of all of us, Christians, Jews, Muslims, the revelation of Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, who was an Arab and a citizen of Mecca. He was born in Mecca and made his home in Medina, in what is now called Saudi Arabia. And that revelation, that book revealed to him by God, God says that this is no new thing, conceived revelation, in that Muhammad had not received the Quran, which is Al-Islam, the pure source of Al-Islam, as something new. But it is a verification, a confirmation, and a verification supporting what had been revealed before, and also a completion on the revelation. So we believe that with the Quran, holy book, that Muslims follow, 1 billion, and so now of us on this earth, with that revelation. Revelation was concluded. That is revelation that would come from God in the form of a book and be left with people as revealed guidance. So we believe that. That was the finality of prophethood also, that there would be no prophets like Abraham, Moses, Jesus, peace be upon them, coming with a book anymore, that it is the final book. Not that God wouldn't reveal to anyone anymore, but there would be no new prophets and no revealed books for humanity after the Quran. So all religion, in essence, is Al-Islam. And in our book, God also makes it clear to us, through Muhammad, to whom he revealed that book, he makes it clear to us that the Quran is the essence or the condensed form of the major scriptures that came before. So Islam, according to our holy book, was the religion, or is the religion of all the prophets, though we recognize Judaism, Christianity as religion. We see them in their essence, those religions in their essence, as Islam. And Al-Islam simply means accepting the will of God, to live by the principles of peace or by the rule of peace under God. That is to say, according to God's will. To live choosing peace, or as someone translated, put it, and surrender to peace, so that you will have peace with God. Peace with yourself, and peace with your fellow man. That is the meaning of Islam. And it is properly called in Quran the surrender to peace, Al-Islam. So if you would read our holy book in the original language of our holy book, you would never read the word Islam by itself like that. It's just Islam. It is always Al-Islam. So heaven calls home of peace. God also says to us in our holy book that he is the peace. God himself is the peace. As-Salam is a name of God, one of the divine names of God in the Quran. So God is the peace, As-Salam. His name is called, one of his names, many names. And we are also told that the paradise, the heaven that we are invited to work for and earn while we live in this world, is the abode of peace, or it is the destination of peace. It is the destination that will be peace. Further, we are told that when we get in that paradise, those who earn it, therein will be their greeting, and their greeting will be peace, salam, peace. Muslim definition. So the Muslim of our names is also taken from the word in Arabic, peace. So we are Muslim, meaning a person who has accepted Al-Islam. It means we have also accepted to be peace with God, at peace with ourselves. our own soul and at peace with our fellow man, at peace with the creation of God too. So we believe that. Working, striving to have peace with God makes possible peace with our own souls. Pleasing and please, return to your Lord. This is Quran. Return to your Lord, enter you my garden. God says, enter you my paradise, enter you amongst my faithful workers, enter you my paradise. Question. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Imam. My question is, in Quran, they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls on Muslims and Jews and Christians to become Muslims. If they are already believers, then why is he calling them to become Muslims? Because the Quran is the best source of religious knowledge. Imam W.D. Muhammad, yes. Well, El-Islam, God's choice of religion, but we believe that all the prophets came from God. And whatever the prophets brought came from God. And El-Islam is God's choice of religion, but we believe that the Quran has been protected against any alterations or changes. And therefore, we as Muslims, we must insist that the best source for revelation knowledge is the Quran. And we invite everybody to become Muslim, yes. We do. We invite Christians, Jews, and all to become Muslims. Question. So the question about why are they believers? If Allah tells us to become Muslim, then why should they stay as they are? They are already believers. What is the difference? Invite to the path of God not to be a Muslim? Imam W.D. Muhammad. No, a lot of Muslims are not believers. They are not all believers. So we are inviting everybody to the way of God. Now, if you notice the language, it does not say invite the people to the Ummah of El-Islam. It doesn't say invite the people to be Muslim. It says invite the people to the path of God because there are others on that path. The Quran Surah 46, Ayat 9, Quran, this is no new message. So you have to understand that Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, told his followers, and God tells us also in this book, that what he gave Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is not something newly formed, but it is what has revealed to those who came before Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, and a classification of what they were given from God and an explanation so we will know how to apply it in our lifetime, in our time of life. So we will know how to see it and know how to apply it to our life. And it is a conclusion. And that's what it is giving here, the Quran Final Frontier. So, and it is a conclusion, and there is a chapter that has translated the conclusion, but it also translates the unity, which tells us that for El-Islam, unity is the conclusion. So the Quran is revealed also to conclude matter. But what matter? Not the matter of our pop culture, necessarily. It doesn't address these kinds of stuff. The matter of revelation. What has come to the people of God, from God, is revelation. It comes to conclude those matters. And the book that they receive also tells them to expect a day when the matter will be concluded. So the Quran is in fulfillment of the prophecy that was given to all the people of the book, telling them to expect a day when the matter shall be or will be concluded. Religion, Christianity, Judaism, El-Islam, or sister communities. The Quran Surah 46, Ayat 9, Muhammad brought no new message. You would be surprised how much alike we are in what God asks of us as communities on this earth. Very much alike, although we have very, very sharp differences. So the three sacred revealed books, we share the Torah, the Gospel, and the Quran. So we believe the author of the three books is the creator of everything in the sky, human beings, all living things, the earth. So if we share this belief in common, although these books are separated by their differences, for three books have the same prophets, except for maybe one or two exceptions. So we have the same prophets. The three religions represent progression. The same human history, morally focused, the content, material, bears striking resemblance. So when you read the story of the prophets in the Bible, you read the story of the prophets in the Quran. You are getting the same names, the same prophets, all coming from one God. So these religions represent progression or a continuation. And that is exactly what Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, wanted us to know, that he did not bring anything new. He said, I bring nothing new. God told him to say this. It's no newly put together revelation. If it is a continuation and an explanation. So this is the nature, the Bible too. I'm a student of the Bible as well. So if you read Genesis and you read from Genesis on up through the Bible all the way to Revelation, you are reading of things that have occurred in the history of human evolution, the evolution of the spirit and the intellect, the evolution of the spirit, spiritual life, and the intellect. So you are reading what occurred in the history of the evolution to the spirit and the mind, the intellect. So you are being influenced to choose righteousness over wickedness too, right and wrong. For life over an immoral life. These books are the same in that respect. Islam emphasizes universal. Al-Islam, distinct picture, is seen in its emphasis. Emphasis on universal. Emphasis in, idolized here, universe in the Muslim book. The Quran are the same as you find in the last of universal appears in early sacred scriptures. The scripture of the Jews and the Christians, the emphasis is there in those books also. But in the Quran, the emphasis is more sharply focused to get your attention to those universals. So we should not think of our religion as a religion in some better competition or envious, jealous competition with Jews and Christians or with Judaism and Christianity. That is not the way to look at it. For missing it, if you do that, you are to see this as a natural growth. As man grows from the earth, the human family, that is. When I say man, I mean the human family. As the human family grows on earth, the experiences difficulties, has to learn and experience difficulties and make progress. So the more progress we make and the more we are connected around the world, the more we venture out from our small quarters and connect with one another, the more we bring about a world that has to look at universal. So when people are separated like we were before discovering of this part of the world and not knowing these two big continents over here, North and South America, we are not connected completely with our own self. So the family of man had not discovered its own self. Man had to discover himself in the various quarters of the world. But now that we have discovered ourselves in the various quarters of the world if we now connect, and we have to be connected. The Quran, Surah 47, Ayat 15, milk, wine, river. Exodus 3:8, milk and honey. 1 Corinthians 3:2, milk said, not meat, you not be able to handle it. So milk, blessings of nature, first light. The higher meaning of milk and honey. Milk comes naturally, ready. Nature gives us milk. Now, an oppressive society denies us the blessings of nature. So it denies us the first fruits of life, that God has created us. God, without any efforts of our own, has given us the first fruits of life, the milk from our mother's breast. Isn't that a great crime? God Almighty has put it in us to fight an oppressive society that will deny us the blessings of nature. So honey means results of collective work. Honey, since God is going to lead us to a land flowing with milk and honey, or with honey and milk. Honey doesn't come from the breast. Honey doesn't come without effort. Honey is the result of collective work, united effort. So the bee is united, working as a collective whole, and it's busy. They call them busy bees, worker bees. The fruit of the one efforts is sweeter than the milk. Ah, you can only feel what I'm talking about, but if you experience what I'm talking about, buddy, great forces begin to stir inside your organs when this kind of wisdom is brought out. So milk has a sweetness, but it is a mild sweetness and softness. Milk is nourished, but honey is filling. You can take 2 tablespoons of honey and put it in 1 glass of milk, and you will almost feel like you had a meal. It is more filling than milk and more nourishing than milk and much more sweeter. You want the honey of life? Then come on out in the wilderness with me. And let's forget about the great castles of Egypt. And let us take the bare desert and turn it into a great kingdom, the bare desert of our own resources. We have nothing. We have nothing. So we are better bare. We are barren bare, pardon me, like a desert. We don't have great wealth. We don't have great scientists. We don't have great theologians. They are all following a discipline of Pharaoh. But in this new leadership in this community, you have a Moses that can show you how to get milk and honey, the blessings of nature, the reward of nature, and the reward of your efforts. The honey that comes as a reward of your efforts, the man, that you work as a human, that you work as a community, together, that you follow some kind of leadership, that you accept authority, follow a discipline. The bees follow a discipline. The bees work together. The bees accept the chain of command. You want to regiment us? No, indeed. Bees kill male leaders, meaning leadership isn't in one individual. The bees kill off the male leader as a sign to the wise that the leadership is not in one individual. Leadership is in the collective body. So after the queen serves her purpose, they get rid of her and get in a new queen who has new vibrant life. They aren't worshiping no individual. They aren't worshiping personalities and individuals. They are respecting great leadership. The bigger male that can go there and knock out the screen down and take care of business. But remember, after you do it, you are just a part of the system. Your exterior body falls down into the system. your soul has gone into the beast, gone into the queen. So you are going to see yourself in the new babies from that queen. But your own personality has gone away into system fertilizer. Oh, that's cruel. It's cruel when you see it in the context of the bee's life. So when you take it as a sign of God and you see it in context of man's social life, oh, it's beautiful. Identity in the inner person. So what is my identity? My identity is not in my physical body. Throw it away. Get it away the moment I impregnate you and this community with this knowledge. Then throw my physical body out of your mind. We don't want my body. We want my gene, my germ, pardon me. Once the germ fertilizes, don't look at me. Look at my germ. Do away with me as a person, as a body. But look at my germ. Now, my germ is working in the nation, not just in the masjid. I've got followers under this shelter and outside of this shelter. The whole nation has been impregnated. But here, under this shelter, we have a great column of bees. And we are making honey. And it is sweet because it is a work of our own efforts. Now, work is the concern of the bee community and of each bee in the society. The queen is working, birthing babies whenever she gets old and can't perform that function. Well, the little young queen that is ready, full of life, to perform that job is put there. Brother Iman, when you stop producing the results or the work that I am doing, when I don't see the results of my work, profit in your work, then you are becoming a queen that we ought to get rid of. We have to look for that imam that's full of enthusiasm, full of life. He's ready to reproduce my work, profit over and over again. And if I should hear that you are in the masjid telling the people to look at you, see me, I'm the man here, then you are worse because you did not impregnate the queen. And you are hanging around. And you didn't even do the job. If the man who did the job steps back and focused all the eyes on the job instead of himself, then what should you do when you did not even impregnate the community with the idea? So manna and quail is the milk and the honey in the desert. So it's a double crime on you. A whole hive should come out on you. When they got it in the wilderness, did they get the milk and honey? You never read where they got the milk and honey. But they got it. It came in another language. And God rained down manna and quail. So the manna and quail is the milk and the honey. And the Bible students will understand this well. And I hope that the others will too. Manna, your individual ability to understand the teachings. Manna and quail, the book says, the manna fell down. As a small thing, they looked like small upon the ground. It was a shiny thing, they said. And they were told to collect it in the same day, for it will spoil if they let it stay out. And they were told not to leave it out until the sun comes up, because when the sun comes up, it will cause it to melt. It's talking about your individual ability to understand the teaching. God will bless you with insight and understanding, but if you don't collect it, the moment you get it, it won't have the same quality. Once you have to go back and think of it go back and get it. So if you have to go back and try to think of it again and get what came to your mind as a thought, an inspiration from God, you won't find it fresh and healthy and wholesome like it was before. Buried talent. And if you neglect to use that wisdom in your own personal life, when the sun comes up, it will vanish, meaning that when God judges you, when the day of judgment comes, you won't receive any credit for it. It will be like you never received it. Why? Because you didn't take it in and apply it to your own life. It came to you. It rained down from heaven. It was there for you, but you left it out there until judgment day. Judgment day, and the God gives you nothing. Say, God, where is my manna that you rained down for me? He will ask, did you use it? You will say, no, I didn't use it. Hell, he will say, you don't have it then. It has also another meaning. It means that if you don't use knowledge when it comes to you, once the whole society is lit with understanding, then you won't have anything. The whole world is knowledgeable. And you are in ignorance. Your little ideas, inspiration, that come to you and vanish. And it's gone. Why? Because you didn't use it. If you had used it, it would have multiplied. And your light would have been bright like the light of the day. But because you didn't use it, it died without development. And when the society is lit, they don't even see what you receive. And isn't that a tendency in many of us to just take the teachings for granted and listen to it like a piece of music, wait until the next Sunday and it plays? We don't take it into our own intelligence and apply it to our own human life and thinking to benefit from it, to grow with it. So when the whole society has embraced the light of El-Islam, they will be much further ahead of you. They will be enlightening, you will be still dark. So that is still in the dark because you didn't apply the wisdom that came to you. So quail is like bees, meaning man must make effort. It says that the rain that he rained down from the heavens, manna and quail. Now manna, this thing came down, it just fell. It wasn't living matter, it just fell. Then he raised down quail. Quail is a bird, like a small pigeon. If quail comes down, quail is going to have to fight the hell out of the wind to keep from hurting themselves. And they are going to have light down. So they are going to have to come down with some effort from their own power. So isn't this like the honey? Can't you see the connection? One milk requires no effort. And I just teach you, it hits your ear. But then you are responsible to take up effort yourself. And if you don't, you're going to come up short when the day of enlightenment comes. But the other one, quail, comes down with great effort. And it's for you. You can bring it to quail. But it is the great effort that we bring this for. So what is this effort? It is the ability of the Iman to ride the winds of emotion, to ride the influence of the world and not be blown away by them. The ability to discipline yourself in the wind or atmosphere, the influence of the world that doesn't come to you without great effort. The wisdom of the Quran is here, but it requires great discipline on the part of your leader. He has to be disciplined. He has to discipline my moral life. I have to discipline my emotional life. I have to discipline my spiritual life. I have to discipline my mind. I have to discipline myself. I have to learn how to discipline and control myself while I'm in the influence of the world. So the religious people, the good imams, they don't come to the people without great effort. They have to have great effort to cross the emotional nature of society. The spiritual influences in the atmosphere offer such great challenge to them that they have to beat the wind with their own effort. Now, when that kind of person comes to us, we have managed to survive the temptations of the world and managed to teach its spirituality from flying through the wind of temptation, lust. Bird eating, it means to get discipline in yourself. So when he comes to us, oh, how sweet it is. To us, quail is a sweet bird. His flesh is sweet. And we would like to pick his feathers and get to his meat and eat him. I want this discipline in me. I want to be able to fly too. I want to be able to better battle the wind. Yet, reach my own course and own destination. So you see, this is nothing we ought to desire. We desire the knowledge, but we also want the spiritual discipline. So milk symbolic of spiritual discipline. Now the milk that comes from the breast comes to give a spiritual discipline. We teach the child to be kind, to be clean, to be peaceful in his thinking and his actions. We teach the child to appreciate mama and daddy, to appreciate goodness no matter where it comes from, and to be polite, to be thankful. Isn't this the first fruits of the breast? Did any great philosopher have to come and bring us that? Every human being gets that knowledge by nature. So it is the milk of the breast. It's very soft. It's easy to swallow. It's not for the baby. That kind of teaching is made for babies. And then the mother has it waiting for the baby as soon as the baby can listen, open his eyes. In fact, the treatment that the mother gives that baby begins to give the discipline to the baby, cleaning him up when he is dirty, teaching him that he should be he should be not he shouldn't be dirty, pardon me. That he shouldn't stink, protecting him when he is hungry, thirsty, him gratefulness, teaching gratitude, appreciation, you see. And then she began to take him when he grows older, and he begins to learn from her, and she begins to teach him the language of the human being, right and wrong, etc. So this is nature. These are the first fruits of nature. So it is like a discipline, but look what it says of the manna, which tells you clearly that it's the honey. It says that each man takes what he can handle for himself and take it into his own house. Beehive represents conscious work, conscious work with the essence of truth. So each bee makes his honey for his own hole, you see. Each man takes it into his own house, which means into his own hole, but leaves it off. If the bee don't get to the hive with the pollen and whatever it collected from the flower, it won't be any good. It will go to waste. But if it takes it to the hive and the hive begins to work on it, what does the hive represent here? There. It represents your conscience. Take it in the individual conscience, and they work with the essence of truth that you get from the teacher. Bee seals hole with wax. so it won't be polluted. And if you work with it, your own efforts will produce from the essence of the honey, and when you taste it, it is sweet. You will enjoy it. Just getting the pollen is nice. It's exciting how the bees work. They just come out buzzing, and they go and they fly to the flowers, and they work so enthusiastically with their feet, flying back to the hive, and each one goes in his little hole. And they are busy working, and when they get through, they seal it with wax. Why? Because God don't want it to be polluted. He wants to keep it pure. He doesn't want any other influence to reach the truth that he got. So he seals it with the wax, and it stays in there for a time. Is that right? And the bees is working in there. And the bees come out, still up in time. There is the honey, ready for eating. Very nice, very nice. He has worked. He has labored. He has brought it into his own conscience. So he has protected it from the contaminated ideas of the world. So he has kept it pure, and he developed it with his own intelligence. He works with it, and he saw that this is more than just essence. This is food for my own substance. So this is something I can eat. I can live on this. Just the aroma is nice, isn't it? So I guess the bee smells like we do, just working with the pollen and smelling all of that nice fragrance. I guess that's just like the spiritual excitement that you get. Teach, Brother Imam. Teach, Chief. He got a whiff of the pollen. Teach, Chief. Pollen, he's gone crazy. But have the sense to fly back to your own conscience, and in your own intelligence develop those ideas until you have a sweet substance for your own life. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Surely Allah speaks the truth. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again, and we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. Also, don't forget to make your donation to the Sister Claire Muhammad Pioneer Islamic Education in the U.S. It's a worthy cause, and help Imam Donnell Kareem by ordering his book on Sister Claire Muhammad, because he went to that school and he lived that. So we thank you, and also don't forget your subscription to the Muslim Journal. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal newspaper. That's our newspaper. That's what gives us an insight on the Muslim community in here in America and throughout the world. So once again, thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us. Bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.